Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Michael Jackson. Michael is the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Paul. Glad to join you.
Thank you. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Paul.
Michael, perhaps you could begin by giving us a perspective about the mission and the programs of the Department of Transportation.
I'd be happy to. The Department of Transportation is about 60,000 employees strong, and our budget is about $56 billion. We recently moved two very large segments of the department, the Coast Guard and the Transportation Security Administration, to the Homeland Security Department, the new department headed by Tom Ridge. That was about 17% of our budget and around 70% of our staff, a large chunk of the people of the department. So we're 60,000 people strong, covering all modes of transportation, air, land, and sea. And that's the big overview of the size of the department.
Could you give us a perspective or a sense of the skills within the department? I think when you think transportation, you have a perception. I'm curious about the wide range of skills of the employees.
Sure. We have, I confess, a tremendous department. I'm prejudiced. But it's a department of doers. So there are air traffic controllers who are keeping the right separation and safety in the skies. There are engineers designing bridges. There are safety researchers who are doing crash research to try to make certain that our cars are more safe. There are people in the maritime world who are today working to run the ready reserve fleet that we use to support the military's mission to call up civilian sea lift capacity in a time of war. So it's a wide range of skills, but it's people who are focused on doing things, engineers, air traffic controllers, people who have practical skills and operational missions.
Let's talk a little bit about your responsibilities in the department. What for the Deputy Secretary, what does a typical day look like? What would you do on a regular basis?
Since 9/11, there hasn't been a regular day answer to this. Yes, but the Deputy Secretary is the Chief Operating Officer of the department. I support my boss, Norm Mineta, Secretary Mineta, in overseeing and managing the work of the department's multiple modes of transportation, some 10 modes of transportation that we manage at the department. And so it's everything from budget and planning work that you'd expect for a large organization to crisis management to strategizing about how to manage our programs in a more effective fashion, doing reviews of work underway, working with the Congress, working with the White House, working with the media and interest groups. So it's a variety of internal and external operationally focused jobs.
On our program, we've spoken with a number of the modal administrators over the past couple of years. Can you tell me a little bit about how your job relates to what each of the modal administrators does?
Well, I try to manage the department's work for the secretary on an ongoing basis. So that means coordinating with modal administrators, common problems across the modes. It means making sure that they have the resources to get done what they need to do and working with them on the tasks that are before them. Oftentimes their work requires coordination with the secretary, with the White House, with Congress, and so we're a switching point and a coordination focus for the overall work of the department.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences prior to joining the department, some of your background?
I'll be happy to. As my mom says, I can't hold a job. I've had skill sets developed from multiple parts of the world in my past. I started out with a PhD in political science and was a government professor, taught at Georgetown, University of Georgia. I've worked for three presidents, four cabinet members, and I've had a series of jobs in the executive branch. But in addition, I've worked for a large corporation on the outside, which was an invaluable set of tools to bring back into the government after I returned to the government to work for President Bush.
So in particular, your experience in the private sector, how did that prepare you for your responsibilities that you have today? What did that do to be able to help you to perform the duties that you have today?
Well, I think the private sector brings important skill sets to the government, and we too often overlook the tools, the mentality, the business discipline and rigor that comes from meeting a payroll, managing a business, and understanding how to get new business and be customer customer responsive. So I believe all of those points of focus, which are part of the warp and woof of life for a for-profit business, can be brought into the government. And in building the Transportation Security Administration, that was a significant set of assets we tried to understand better as we built that new agency.
How about your academic experience? How has that played into the way you perform your responsibilities and the way you go about your work in the department?
Well, one WAG asked me at an early meeting when I came back to the department for the second time as Deputy Secretary. I'd previously served in the previous Bush administration as Chief of Staff to then Secretary Andy Card. They said, "What does a PhD in political science get you in life?" And I said, "I guess it gets you a job as Deputy Secretary of Transportation." What's your next question? But seriously, I think that it can be summed up in a very simple phrase, that the academic training brings a precision of thought and economy of expression. It teaches you how to get your mind around a problem and look at it from different angles. And it gives you, I think, a very important understanding. In my case, I studied the history of this nation, the founding, its political institutions. I will tell you, I didn't know anything about how to operate in the political world by virtue of reading academic texts. But the combination of the history and the academic work with some real-world experience was a twofer that you can't beat, because it allows you to look at the whole picture from a more, robust perspective. So I feel like I have understood our institutions better by virtue of reading the Federalist Papers and teaching it to college undergraduates. And I've learned a lot about how the Congress operates by actually having to sit there, testify, and work through problems with members.
Well, it's actually very interesting that you say that the work in academics doesn't help to be able to operate. It helps you to be able to understand, but not to operate. There's some very different cultures in an academic environment, in a public sector environment, and a private sector environment. Can you tell us a little bit about how different those environments are and the benefits that come from having worked across three of those key areas?
Well, I'll take the academic and the public sector just for one second on one level. In the academy, you are seeking truth and digging and burrowing and researching and never stopping till you feel like you've understood every component part of a problem or an issue. In the real world of politics, you have to work on imperfect information, make decisions, and go forward. People spend years writing academic books, but if you have to write a policy paper for the president and give him some options on a thorny problem, you're going to have to do it under a time crunch and hand it in to him with the best job you can do. So it does have a sort of clarifying effect on your work processes when you've got to get something done on a deadline. And academics have deadlines, to be sure, but the nature of their research is more exhaustive, more patient, more protracted. And I saw that big difference in the two worlds.
What drew you back to public service? You'd been in the private sector. You had served a lot already. What drew you back?
The issues and the opportunity to serve, as corny as that sounds, is one of the most satisfying things that I've ever done in life. And I find that around the government and all sorts of people, career and political appointees, that most people can make more money and many people can have a lot more satisfaction in terms of financial rewards, but there are a few things in life that are as satisfying as doing something that needs to be done, as trying to break a rock that's hard that needs breaking, and you get all those opportunities across the spectrum of jobs in the federal government. So I've been energized by working with tremendously talented colleagues at DOT and the government generally. So that was an attractive thing. Norm Mineta is a great guy, and he asked me to do the job, and the president also made that opportunity available to me, and I respect and admire both of them and wanted to be able to contribute in a small way if that was possible.
You've had the opportunity to work with a variety of different leaders, and I'm curious, as you reflect on that, what your insights are into the qualities of good leaders.
First, I start with honesty and character. I remember when I went with Andy Card, the president's current chief of staff, for his first day at work as the Secretary of Transportation. He said, "Michael, if there is an ethical gray line on something, we want to find that line and step back 10 paces." It's tremendously satisfying to work with somebody that has that type of ethical and sort of moral clarity about doing the right thing. We can have policy disagreements in the government and do, you know, vigorously. But my experience is most people really share that core value. Most good leaders that I have met, all good leaders that I have met, share that core value. What's the right thing to do? And they're animated by trying to find their way and burrow down to that question. So that's one. The other thing that I have seen in leaders in the government in particular is an ability to bust up the normal way of doing business and say, how can we do this better, cheaper, faster, more effective? That skill is really an intellectual nimbleness of the highest order. And when you find a leader who can bring that to the table, it's really an exciting thing in the government. And it's a somewhat rare thing, but surprisingly common at the highest levels of government.
That's a good stopping point for this segment. You'll join us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Michael Jackson of the U.S. Department of Transportation. What role does the department have in protecting the homeland? We'll ask Michael for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour continues.